Hope tonight that as we study about what I call test of faith, in the verses that were read in Genesis 22:1 of the King James Version of the Bible, it came to pass that after these things God did tempt Abraham. And in James 1:13 it says, "Let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted of either, neither tempt any man." Now the word tempt is used two ways in the Bible. Sometimes it means to test or try an individual. In that sense, God tests man all the time. Sometimes it means solicit or try someone to do evil. In that sense, God never tempts man. He doesn't try to get man to do evil. So when you think about the two terms, what we're talking about is that God tests or tries. So I know no verse or no lesson is more important than knows how God tests our faith. Because God has certain ways whereby he tests our faith to know how strong it is. And that's what we'll look at tonight. There are two classes of commands found in the Bible. There's one class we might designate as moral in their nature. Now, moral commandments are right in the very nature of the case, commanded because they are right. Such commands as thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, and so forth, are moral commandments. Let me repeat. They're right in the very nature of the case. And a command because they are right. Then there's another type of positive command. That's what we call positive laws or positive commands. Now, positive laws are right only because they're commanded. What I mean is that they're different from moral laws. And when you give a positive law, we'll notice some examples of those in just a moment. There are two or three types of positive law. There's one type of positive law which seemingly there's no connection between what you're doing and the blessing you hope to receive. For example, if I were to say to you tonight, "If you'll stand on wood for 20 minutes, I'll give you $8. Now, Jay, if you needed the $8, you'd probably stand on wood for 20 minutes. But can you see any connection between standing on 1 foot for 20 minutes and receiving $8? There really is none. There are commands like that in the Bible. In Exodus 12, when God told the children of Israel to take the blood of a lamb and strike it on the doorpost and the lintel, "When I see the blood, I'll pass over that house." Now, from a human standpoint, can you see a connection to sprinkling blood on doorposts and lintels and God passing over the house? Really, there is none. Yet, it was right because God said, do it. So the commands like the Bible. There's another type of positive law that's obnoxious and distasteful to those that receive it. For example, in 2 Kings 5, it talks about Naaman. Naaman was a good man. He was evident love of the king and all that, but he was a leper. He was told to go dip in the Jordan River 7 times, and the leper disappeared. Now, think about this standpoint. Here's a man that has leprosy. You go dip in the Jordan River 7 times, the leper just disappeared. Now, that must have been obnoxious and distasteful to him, the idea of dipping the Jordan River 7 times, and the leprosy disappeared. But when he went and dipped 7 times, the leprosy did disappear. There are commands like that in the Bible. Then the commands in the Bible that seemingly be wrong in other circumstances. For example, when God told Abraham to take his son Isaac and offer him a sacrifice, we know Abraham did not do so, but he intended to do so. If he had done that, he had violated the moral law, "Thou shalt not kill." And so we know that there are commands like that in the Bible. Then there's the type of positive law that when we think about, and when we look at it from this standpoint, that helps us to understand how God tests our faith. And that's what we'll look at tonight. When you think about God tests the faith, we need to keep this in mind and think when we talk about it from this standpoint. It's possible that man does not do anything God says do because God says do it. Brother Guy in Woods tells the story, and this, of course, is found in his book on salvation. He tells about this particular story when the state of Kentucky was still a wilderness. A man decided to move his family from Kentucky, from the North Shore to east to Kentucky, from Kentucky to another place that he wanted to go and take his family. But before he left, he decided he'd send his older son on ahead and find a likely spot, clean it out, get everything ready for the family to come. Before he left, he told his son or drew a crude diagram on a piece of paper. So his son left, took the diagram, went to Kentucky, found the likely spot, cleaned it off, took out his father's diagram. He looked at it, said, "My father's right, that's where the barn ought to be built," so he built the barn. When he finished building the barn, he looked at it again, said, "My father's right, that's where the house will be built," so he built the house. He looked at it again and said, "No, my father missed it there." That's not where the well ought to be at all. You see, two times out of three he did. Now the question is, did he obey his father? Most people say two times out of three he obeyed his father. The truth is, he didn't obey his father at all. It's true that two times out of three he did what his father said do, but not because his father said do it. He did it only because he agreed with his father. But the moment he didn't agree with his father, he didn't hesitate to set it aside and do what he wanted to. Brother Guyon Woods used to say, at this point, the religious world stumbles. For example, take faith as a condition of salvation. So far as I know, all religious people in the religious world believe that if you're going to be saved by Jesus Christ, you must believe in Jesus Christ. That's reasonable. That makes sense. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you don't mind saying, I believe he's the Son of God. Take repentance. Repentance is a change of mind that results in a change of life. Luke 13:3 says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. There are many verses that teach repentance. All of us can see the connection between turning from your way you're walking and going another direction. Turn away from your sins. And so that's reasonable. That makes sense. Take confession. In Romans 10:10, it said, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, all of us can see the connection between, and it's reasonable, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you're willing to confess Jesus Christ. But it's in baptism they stumble. Now, why? Is it because the Bible doesn't say much about baptism? Well, look, for example, in Mark 16:15, in Acts 2:38, in Acts 22:16, in 1 Peter 3:21, and many other verses that talk about baptism. So it's not because the Bible doesn't say much about it that people don't understand it. Well, is it because what the Bible says about baptism is so hard that people can't understand it? Well, you remember in Mark 16:15, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, don't raise your hand, but does anybody in this audience misunderstand what that says? That says if you believe and are baptized, you will be saved. Now, that's simple enough. That's plain enough. That's not hard to understand at all. In Acts 2, the Apostle Peter preached to the Jews and convinced them that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They were pricked in the heart and cried out and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Notice carefully. They were told to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Well, that's not hard to understand. Yet people seem to misunderstand it. For example, many people say the word for there means is from the Greek word, which means because of, not in order to. But as far as I know, it's never used that way in the Bible, is it, Edwin? Never used that way in the Bible. It means in order to, unto, and not because of. And such people can understand. But you see, the reason people change that is because there are certain religious groups that teach you're saved and then you're baptized. And naturally, that wouldn't be in harmony with what they believe. And so we need to recognize that what the Bible says about baptism. Then in Acts 22:16, when Saul was told, now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. Now Saul understood that and did what he was told to do. Then in 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure of even baptism does all now save us. Not to put away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of good torches toward God. Now these are just a few of the verses that mention baptism. And you can see people don't misunderstand it because it's hard, you can't understand it. But it's because people reject baptism because it's contrary to what they believe and teach about certain things that are found in the Word of God. Also, you need to keep this in mind, as I've already pointed out, when you talk about what is the difference in these two commands as far as testing one's faith is concerned? Do you realize that moral laws do not test one's faith? There are many reasons why people keep moral laws. And none of them may be, in fact, they may not even believe in God. There are certain atheists that keep moral laws that claim there is no God. You see, there are many reasons why people keep moral laws, and let me repeat, not necessarily because they believe in God. People keep moral laws because they want to maintain their place in society. If you violate certain moral laws, you don't have any place in society. Then some people keep moral laws because they want to escape the punishment that will come if you violate certain moral laws. Then there's some people just seem to be law-abiding citizens. They just enjoy doing what's right and so they owe laws. So there are many reasons why people can make moral laws. And yet none of them necessarily because they believe in God or want to honor God. And so you recognize the difference in the moral laws and the positive. But all positive laws were given for the test, first for the test of men's faith. There may be many reasons why you and I can do something where we see no connection between what we're doing and the blessing we'll receive. But if we believe in the one that gave the law, we'll do it because we believe in he gave it and we trust him and know he'll tell us what to do, the right thing to do. So that's what he's emphasized in regard to this and what we're taking in regard to that. Here's another thing we want to look at. It's possible to do many things God said do and not do any of them because God said do them. I've already mentioned that, and so this is what we'll look at this, but here's something else we'll look at. And that is simply this. What does the obedience to God consist? It consists in doing what God says do in the first place. For example, I've already emphasized the Bible teaches we're to be baptized. And what is baptism? Baptism simply means immersion, a burial. Romans 6, 3 and 4, Paul says, know ye not that so many of us are baptized into Christ, are baptized into his death, therefore we're buried with him by baptism. In other words, we understand that in Acts the 8th chapter, Philip and Eunice riding along in the chariot, Eunice said, Seers, water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? He stopped the chariot, they went down into the water, and they came up out of the water. Now everybody understood that for 12 centuries. But in the Catholic Catechism, it says, for 12 centuries, after the establishment of the church, baptism was usually converted by immersion. But since the 12th century, we practice confusion, that is sprinkling the porn, because this method is attended with less inconvenience than baptism by immersion. Now think about that. They admit that for 12 centuries, baptism was immersion. You bury people. But since the 12th century, we practice sprinkling and pouring because that method is more convenient than baptism by immersion. It's amazing how men will change laws to fit what they want rather than what God says. So you need to keep in mind, as we look at it from this standpoint, that's what we're talking about. Now, there's another thing to keep in mind when you talk about the positive laws, and that is that when you talk about positive laws, that the difference in these two commandments is that one of them tests man's faith. There's not. Now, here's the second thing about obedience. It means doing it in the way God said do it. Now, notice I said doing it because God said do it. Second, doing it the way God said do it. Take the Lord's Supper, for example, to illustrate this point. We find in Luke 22, the Lord took the bread and said, take, eat, this is my body. He took the fruit of the vine, he said, drink you, this represents my blood, drink you all of it. So notice the bread reminds us of the body of Christ. The fruit of the vine reminds us of the blood of Christ. As we eat this bread, we're to think of the body of the Lord. As we drink the fruit of the vine, we'll think of the blood of the Lord. But here's what happens many times. An improper observance of the Lord's Supper will result in weak, sickly, dead Christians. In 1 Corinthians 11, the chapter deals in great detail with the Lord's Supper. Now, they'd come together to observe the Lord's Supper, but Paul said, this is not the Lord's Supper. Why wasn't it? There was division in the church at Corinth. Their attitude was wrong. They might have been eating the bread, but it wasn't observing the Lord's Supper. And as a result of improper observance of the Lord's Supper, many of them were weak, many of them were sick, and some of them were dead spiritually. And that tells you and me, beloved, when we observe the Lord's Supper, better pay attention to what we're doing. Because it's intended to build us up, make us stronger, help to be more faithful, dedicated servants of God. And when we don't observe in the proper way, you see what happens according to 1 Corinthians 11. And so that's the importance of observing the Lord's Supper. That's an example of what we're talking about here. So here's another reason. We do it for the reason that God said do it. Now many people, let me just go back to baptism once again. There are many people who say, yes, we believe in baptism. We believe you must obey God and be baptized. But they do not be baptized for the reason that God said. For example, I've already said some people baptize because people's sins have already been forgiven. That's not the reason. Then some people baptize the Lord by substituting sprinkling and pouring. That's not the reason. And you go on and emphasize the importance. So the point is, obedience to doing it consists in doing what he said to do. It consists in doing the way he said to do it, and it consists in doing for the purpose he said to do it. Anything short of that is not obedience to God's will. So when you think about the commandments, what do we have? Let me repeat once again. Moral commandments obey many reasons, but none necessarily test one's faith. But all positive laws are given for the purpose of testing men's faith. And when you think about positive laws, we've talked about some of those tonight in regard to positive law. Test what kind of faith you have. Here's the reason. Let me repeat. There may be a reason why you'll do something, in which is a connection between what you're doing and the blessing you'll receive. But the only reason you'll obey positive laws is because you believe in the one that gave the command. And you trust that what he says is right. In obedience to positive laws, then, we will come Christians of God. If you're in the audience tonight and you haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ and you're convinced Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you believe that. You're ready to repent of your sins, confess your faith and be baptized to miss you your sins. The baptism's filled. Ready to assist you in being baptized into Christ. If you're here and you obeyed the gospel, but you've been walking contrary to God's will, may need to come back and start over. Whatever you need is, won't you come while we're standing, while we're singing.